Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, guys, gals, non-binary pals even, welcome to another edition of the Stromcast. We've got just the two of us today. I have the liaison to my nani, Mr. Chris Oliveira. How are you today, Chris?
I'm good, man. I had to break this out, remembering some fun times from a few years ago.
We're
7-point lead now, not popping champagne yet, but feeling very good about it.
The vibes are slowly but surely starting to vibe, which is great. Follow Chris on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Of course, follow Danny and if you can follow Sam as well. They couldn't be here. Most importantly, as you can see on the below screen, follow all things Alvalade. We got two games to get to, two league games. I'm going to pull up my screen share here in a second. Let me share the tab. We want Famalicão, which was the game today. This was the makeup game, as we know, and the lineup, is this showing up on the screen, Chris? I can't tell.
I think it might be because I have the banner. Hit it again. Add to stage.
There we go. Look there at us go. So, our starting 11, a 1-0 win against Famalicão. The 11 was as follows. Big Franco Israel in net. The defense was Nuno Sanches and Jenny Katamu as the fullbacks. The center backs, Gonçalo Inácio, Seba Kovač, and Usman Diomande. The midfield was Braganza and Hulman. And rounding up the front was Pedro Gonçalves, who got the goal, Trincão, who got the assist, and Jokeres with a 6.1. Chris, I'll start with you. This was a kind of boring game, if we're being really honest. Not a whole heck of a lot happened.
For sure. And the fact that I was watching this game meant that I wasn't watching the other games, which, from what I've heard, were there was some action in the Champions League games today.
I was able to have the other games going on.
Okay, yeah, I was at work for the first half, so I was on my phone.
Games. And, if you got to watch Champions League, script writers for Champions League, in their bag this round. They've been on one.
So yeah, if you're watching those, like, this definitely appears to be the least action-packed of the three games. But nonetheless, for us, the most important, I thought that we actually started pretty well. Much like the Gil Vicente game, like one-way traffic, just kind of like stifling the opposition, couple chances. In Barcelos, we obviously scored a couple of the early chances. Here we sort of did, right? We probably scored on like our third or fourth chance. It wasn't the most, you know, as you mentioned, it wasn't the most action-packed, but I will say, I mean, there are times when I've watched Sporting and we've been up 1-0, 2-0, and, you know, while we are dominating the game per se, it doesn't really feel that good. It feels like literally at any moment, the right counter, the right chance, like in the other team.
All it takes is one
break from somebody. I was so confident that both Gil Vicente and Famalicão were not going to score. Famalicão a little bit towards the end today, maybe the last 10 minutes, because
that's
just going to happen. When you play anybody and you're up 1-0 and you're kind of like just kind of trying to see the result out, you're going to invite some pressure. And they're going to have a half chance or a chance or two, right? Which did happen. But I think it's kind of natural. So sure, like 80 minutes of this game and maybe about 85 minutes of the last game. Like, bro, we dominated. It's a shame we didn't put a second one in today because that would have really sealed it, I think.
It would have calmed a lot of nerves, too, if they could have even gotten, like, one in the second half and then just been on cruise control. I think 1-0 made us doubt.
For me, that's about as comfortable as a 1-0 win as you're going to get against a good team, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I would agree with that.
Like, I've been literally more stressed watching 2-0 games before than I was watching this 1-0 game, you know? So, yeah, I'll take this. I think that we're playing so well right now, man. It's good to see some players that, you know, haven't had as many opportunities. It's great to see Braganza, like, growing into a starter. It's good to see Fresneda the past couple games. It's good to see Jenny balling. It was good to see St. Just. Kawats is at the top of his game right now. I mean, you could say that, you know, I guess like the streak extended today, right? So now it's 5 games without a goal for Jokeres, even though, like, he kind of scored against Joey Sen.
They should have counted. We'll get into that. They should have counted that one.
That's a tough one to swallow, especially if he ties or loses the Golden Boot race by, you know, a goal or something like that.
Yeah, if it's a one goal thing, he's gonna be pissed.
It's like he literally scored, but hey, whatever. But I mean, he's still dangerous. He's still causing problems. The ball will go in sooner or later again. You know, it's only a matter of time.
He's got 30+ goals on the season, like
total. Yeah, he's got 30+.
He's allowed. I think at this point, he's allowed to have a little bit of a slump, considering everyone else has pulled up the weight behind him.
And like, I saw a stat today that was like he has like 600 progressive passes received in the final third, and like he had more than double. He had like more than double second, which was Asende from Vizela.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's always in dangerous spots. I mean, even when he's not scoring, he's still causing problems. He's attracting attention for other defenders, etc. So yeah, I mean, basically my point of that was I'm not worried really. I'm not worried about him. Good pot games the last two, I would say.
Good pot game, especially coming back from that little injury, right? So it's good to see that he's not
Couple G's and A's as well, so it's not just, you know, good performance, you know, in the aggregate, in the abstract, like there's numbers to back it up too. Yeah, and you know, I mean that's really all I have. Their only chance was like a Yonder Cadiz like banger that was their only chance and didn't happen.
Yeah, that was it. I'm not going to add too much else. I thought Potts played well. He, like you said, he's been good the last, you know, two or three games. Even the game against Benfica, the league game, which was his first game back from injury, he did have the phantom assist on the goal. I'd give him the hockey assist on that one. But yeah, he's looked good the last 3 games since coming back, which is awesome. He was looking better each game, more comfortable. Kind of a gimme garbage goal this last one today. Just because the keeper, I thought he just had it, and then he didn't, which was kind of
hilarious. Yeah, I saw some Benfica fans kind of shitting on him. He doesn't come away from the replay looking great.
He's not done himself and doubters any favors with that one. I can understand where some people would say, what the hell is this? That was not – I was looking
at – I mean, well done from Potts to win the ball back, right?
Oh, yeah, it's a great, like, not taking away anything from Pot. It's just the keeper, I thought he had it, and he didn't. So we take those, though, you know. We
take them all. Really
cool. We take them all. Nobody really stood out outside the usual guys. Like, Jokeres, like you said, he's always getting into space. But Aganza looked good, almost had that wicked banger. Credit to Luis Junior, made the wicked save on him to push
He's also very fortunate it doesn't hit his back and go in. Well, it does, but it has enough backspin.
We almost got a repeat of the goal from Gil Vicente where it hits him and goes in.
It wouldn't have been a Braganza goal. It would have been an own goal.
No, it would have been an own goal.
But probably, that would have actually felt more like an own goal than the
Jokeres one. Yeah. So he makes a wicked save on Braganza. We were out of a Braganza banger. Kouach looks great as he has the last month or so. He's been phenomenal. Nobody really else stood out. Quaresma looked really good when he came on. Diomande was the only, I guess, real letdown of the game for me, and maybe kind
he's
of.
He still almost sense, scored, too. He had a chance that was.
Yeah, I think him and Nuno Sanchez are the only two where I could kind of be somewhat critical of today, but I'm not going to be overly critical. They just didn't do a whole heck of a lot, especially Nuno Sanchez going forward. I thought didn't offer a ton. I thought he actually Sam put it in the group in one of my group chats. Might have been the All Things All Allowed one. But he says Nuno Sanchez really kind of killed some of the momentum going forward a few times, and I felt that. But yeah, this was, like we said, this was the makeup game. This was the postponed game that from like the 20th Jornada or whatever. We came in as 4 points up. It's a 7-point advantage with 5 games remaining. We'll get into more of the deep math later, but it was the game that you really wanted them to win and come away with. It gives them a lot of breathing room. No complaint. They did what they needed to do. Family Cal's been, since they came up to first division, has been a very tricky game and a bit of a boogeyman for us. So statement victory for sure, I'll say, but not too much to add to that.
Who got a yellow? So is someone suspended? Oh, as Gaio is suspended, right?
I think as Gaio has accumulated yellows now.
Yeah,
I believe he misses what is the Guimarães game, but he would be back for the Clásico at the Dragão against Porto.
I was gonna say, it doesn't really apply as a true hypothetical, because I think as Gaio is suspended, but if Matheus Reis is hurt against Gil Vicente, and I guess just basically, if you had to pick one right now, as Gaio or Fresneda,
that's a good question. We've not seen much of Fresneda,
yeah.
And what we have, we've been
about like 70 minutes in the last, yeah.
I'm seeing from in the comment in our comments now. If you want to throw one,
yeah,
up.
Okay, so I was right, yeah. As guys,
Gaio and Diamande both out next game. They are at home.
I don't know if Matheus Reis is going to be fit. I mean, we are a little bit thin at outside back right now.
A little bit. So ideally, Matheus Reis is hopefully ready for the next game if needed.
True. You could put. I've seen him stick drink on there as well.
They could put. Yeah, they could also put like Eduardo Quaresma or Saint Just as a right back too. We've seen them kind of experiment that with that when they've been chasing games. Not a whole lot, thankfully, but it's they have the necessary pace at least to work on that position if you're really desperate. But yeah, so 7 points, they go into Guimarães now, the home game against Guimarães. To answer your question, I don't know who I take as Guy or Fresneda. That's like saying, do you want arsenic or do you want rat poison?
I think I'm just rolling with Fresneda off of
I
just think he's got a higher ceiling.
Also think Fresneda would offer us more going forward anyways.
I also know that Jenny had 5 successful take-ons in this game, and as Gaio has 8 all season.
When you sent that to the group chat, it took me a minute. I did not believe. I thought the whole point of whoever with the tweet was lying.
And the more I thought about it, I was like, he actually has 8? He even has eight?
He has 8? Like, that seemed kind of high at first. Then you start thinking of it, like, actually, I'm surprised it's that many.
It feels like he just takes a touch and passes it back every time.
Yeah, it's literally almost every pass he makes is a lateral to back pass. He makes almost no progressive passes. I say this every week. Man of the match for you.
It's tough. Well, it's not tough because I'm thinking about giving it to him for the other game, and I don't want to give it to him for both. So I'm going to give this one to Kawats.
Okay, I'll give this one to Trincao.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
That's fair. I thought Trincao has really – I think we were right. Second half Trincao is apparently
a – He's linked to Bayer Leverkusen, and he's linked to the German champions.
He's been linked to the recent German champions. But Barcelona also has a 25 million buyback clause.
And they've stolen 50% of his pass.
So we'll see what happens there. But for now, he's a Sporting player, and we're happy that he is, because he's been balling out the last few months. So we take that. As I stop my screen share here, and then I will get us to the game from Friday, the Family Cup game, the Gil Vicente game. Let me share my screen here, go down to goal point. So our starting 11, a 4-0 win against Gil Vicente. 4-0 at the half. This was a close game until it started. They had us right at warm-ups. Israel was in net. The defense was rounded out by Ishgayu on his off wing and Jenny as the 2 fullbacks. Center backs were Gonsolinacio, Diamande, and Quaresma. Diamande with a goal there. Midfield was Braganza and Morita. Morita had a very good game with an 8.0. Braganza with an assist. And the forwards, same as they were today, so this was unchanged. Jokeres up front being flanked with Pot and Trincão on his wings. Pot with an assist, Trincão with two goals on the night. I'll let you start with this one again, Chris, because this is a pretty easy game to get through, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this was an actual steamrolling.
Yeah.
We converted probably, what, like 75% of our chances in the first 30 minutes.
It was, yeah, it was absurd.
Even the first Trincón goal that kisses the post is almost a goal right before that. Morita hits the post.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much to say here. I thought that Trincón probably. I think that this is actually his best game of the season.
It's one of them. It's up there.
He's a player that, like, when it's going right, it just seems like he just, like, is gliding through defenders. He's just, like, he's just effortless on his feet, and the ball is just glued to his foot, and he's just gliding.
It almost seems like he can do no wrong going forward.
And when he's not, think back to, like it's 8 months ago. It's like, it just feels like
think back, like, October, November.
It just feels like he loses the ball every single time he gets it.
Yeah.
So I guess he's a man of extremes. But yeah, like Juicebox saying, you know, when he has confidence, like he builds on his confidence, and he also builds on his lack of confidence, right? So it just starts compounding in either direction, I think. So we just got to make sure we keep him in good form. I don't know what would happen this summer or what his value even is. What do you think his value is right now?
Oh, his value now is at least like
in 40?
I would say it's probably 30? Between 30 and 40 right now. I think
which he's sporting would get half of. Like, is taking 17 million for
Trincão? Yeah, it's taking like,
is that a good deal?
Whatever million. It was taking 15 spent to 20 10, million, an okay deal.
Spent 10 for 50, get back 17. I mean, it's okay business, right?
You're making 7 million or so, depending. Yeah.
Or, you know, let's just say Bayer Leverkusen's like, okay, we'll give you 40. And then Barcelona comes in and they're like, actually, we have a guaranteed 25
million buyback clause.
We'll cash that in right now.
Or Barcelona.
And then we'll sell them to Bayern.
Or Barcelona's in such shambles. Yeah. They just say, yeah, we can't do anything.
Or they're just like, oh, well, you know.
They just got eliminated from Champions League. They're out of pretty much everything. So we might be hearing some more juicy and fun of those financial levers or levers that they like to pull. Every year to get out of
Every summer it's an adventure. I don't know.
Every summer in Barcelona, when it comes to financial fair play shenanigans, is an adventure. It seems indeed.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I think he's at least 30 or so million. I think he's definitely like he's got his value up where Edwards, I think, has played his value down a little bit.
True. The last couple months. That is definitely true. Yeah. Bro, what do you think Edwards' value is right now?
We're lucky if we get 20-25 the way he's been playing.
And we have 5% of his pass, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Like, he's not even worth selling for 20 million, you know?
No. And like, if you got 25, maybe you talk, maybe you take it and just say whatever we can.
I also don't think Trincão is worth selling for 25 million for 50%, you know?
No, I think if you get 30 million or more for Trincão, then you want to at least have a conversation. I think for Edwards, because you own a bit more of the pass, if you can get like 25 million out of him, I think it's the way he's been playing.
Haven't heard Tottenham in a while.
I've heard like almost no.
Haven't heard anyone in a while.
No, he's been it's the curse of this team, right? Like, all of our three top wingers are all very streaky players. It's just Pot happens to be the most consistent right now.
Yeah, honestly, Edwards is kind of similar to Trincão in that way. Like, when it's going bad, it's, like, borderline unwatchable. But when it's going really well, it's beautiful, you know?
It's so much fun, yeah. But, yeah. Anything else to add to this game? There's not much. It's a 4-0 thrashing. This game was done by half.
Bragança was balling also.
Bragança had a phenomenal game again.
Is he the starting center mid? Is him in, like, what is our starting mid? Like, what are, like, I know that like we've been doing rotation and some injuries, some rotation. We've had in this game we had Morita Braganza. Today we
which
had
Braganza. Which was an interesting call because they both played very Braganza, well.
Hjumland. We've had Morita Hjumland. Like what combination of the two is the best for us right now?
Here's the thing. They both played really well this game, him and Morita, which was an interesting combo. We weren't sure how that would work. I still think the way he's been playing, I mean, Hjumland's one of them for sure, just for the defensive stability. I think the way Braganza has been playing recently, I think you put him ahead of Morita just. I think Morita on his day is still a great player. But I think your midfield duo as of right now, if you have to put a gun to my head, I'd say it's Braganza, Hjumland, but only just.
Yeah, I agree. Just based off of like the last
2 months, I would
max,
say.
Max, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much else to add for Mayan on this game. Diamande with a great header. Trincao with two great goals. No real complaints on me for anybody. We, of course, have the Phantom own goal. I still think that should have been Jokeres' goal, but whatever. my boy was robbed. I'll let him know. No one looked bad. Everybody looked phenomenal this game. Even the subs when they came on outside of Paulinho looked pretty good. Looked good to great.
Was solid again. You think it's weird that like every game he subs center backs, it seems like these days?
Yes and no. I think it may be because he's spoiled for choice at center backs, he doesn't mind the rotation. And he's probably just because guys have been in decent enough form.
It's tough to tell when he does it if it's like because of injury, because of just rotation, because he thought they sucked.
Yeah,
I never know like what the reason is.
No one was hurt this game, and nobody sucked this game out of the starters. So that's
because I think 2 games ago when Inacio got subbed out at half, like I actually thought he played shit, but in this game he got subbed out at half, and I thought he was fine. You know.
Yeah, I could see in the previous game before this.
I get St. Juice, right? Like, you don't want to like have him overextended, but I mean he wasn't even involved in any of these.
I think that's why we're seeing most of the time it's St. Juste and Kawach, just because of the fact that they're the two most injury prone dudes. At least that's my thought process. Usually he's rolling with one of Inacio and Diamande for sure. And then it's Quaresma, Kawach, and St. Juste kind of have been rotating that third spot for the most part. But that's just me thinking that. It's not a bad problem to have at the end of the day, I don't think. I think it's fine that they have that problem, that they can rotate guys, especially late in the season when you know certain players are going to be tired. I mean, they don't have the fixture congestion really anymore. Thankfully, they're out of Europe. It's 5 games and a cup game left to play anyways. So they're getting, other than this makeup game, they're going to be getting normal rest periods for their games, which is only a good thing for them, only works to their advantage. With Benfica fighting currently for the Europa League, they're still in position to advance. So they might have at least another 2 games on top of their league games. So who knows? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Former Sportingista Felix Correa getting the best on the field for Gil Vicente on loan from Juventus.
I saw that. They other than him, like no, everybody stunk. Everybody really stunk for Gil Vicente. Not a banner name for anybody.
None of them stood out. And honestly, I've seen Andrew have good games, or better games than this at least.
Well, we praised him and Luis Junior, both the previous two goalies we played this week, extensively, and said we'd love to sign them. In the past, this was not a game. This was not a banner game for the people on that side of the equation. Let's say that.
There was that rumor about the Stuttgart goalie about a month ago, but that's really been it on the goalkeeper front.
You're not wrong. Maybe they because they feel like they're getting comfortable with Israel. Who knows? I mean, they're gonna need a goalie regardless because they haven't renewed Adan. So unless you decide to roll with two really young goalies as your starter and your backup, that would be very shocking. Let's not say I don't like Israel. He's played well since coming in.
Yeah, he's played well. He showed development and evolution, which is important.
He's shown that there might just be a player there.
Yeah,
at the end of the day. Man of the match for you, Chris, for this one.
Trincão. I gotta go with Trincão on this one. I'm gonna go
Trincão as well. I think that's very fair to give that to Trincão. Stop my screen share there. You had a bit of a nightmare week on predictions. You had clawed some stuff back from us, from me. You clawed like 3 points back last week, and then you forgot to predict shit.
I gave it up today.
Let me share a tab. Hopefully that pops up. So right now, as you can see for the makeup game family count, Danny with a 2-1 prediction, and Joe Carey, he only gets 1 point. Chris, no points. Hate to see it. I was among the closest with a 2-0 win, but I didn't have any goal scores, so just a single point. And Sam as well had a 2-1 as well.
This time only lost one.
Yeah, we only lost 1 point this week. He had Joe Carey and Nuno Sanch, neither getting on the score sheet. So that is that. If you go up to the top, my lead has been reduced. It is a 10-point lead with 5 league games and a cup game remaining, so 6 games to predict. Chris sits in second place at 70 points. You have a 6-point lead up.
It's possible to close that. I just need to get like 2 correct scores.
You get like 1 or 2 correct score lines all of a sudden, and like you've cut that massively. Or you get like all the goal scores as well in a game. Like I'm waiting for someone to just say screw it, putting an 11-0 win on everybody to score, to see what happens. But Sam sits at 64. He's 6 points behind you, Danny. Sitting off the podium, he is but 1 point behind Mr. Sam Fonseca, and that is the league predictions as it stands. The league and cup predictions as it stands. We do have a bit of Modalidad news this week as well, I believe, Chris. We did get a huge dub against Benfica. Before we get to the news stuff, let's get Modalidad out of the way.
We did. Great game, honestly. Benfica had some chances; could have gone either way.
Yeah.
We just took our chances on the counter. That's how we got the first one. I'm not even blanking on the second one, honestly. But I did watch the game. It was enjoyable. And basically relaunched the title race with 3 games to go. Still need help, right? Still need Benfica to drop again. At least another one. At least drop points in one more game of the 3. But there is hope. At one point, we were like 7 to 9 points back like a month ago, and didn't really think there was any chance, to be honest. But we've gotten some good results, and maybe he could drop points to us and a mid-table team. And yeah, now look at that. The race is open again. Sporting B is.
It makes you lament some of the games where they were really silly and dropped some points too.
They've
really
also have a lot of injuries right now. Yeah. The squad was thinner than it has been in recent years as far as, like, star power. And a lot of injuries. And they beat a very solid Benfica team, who, to be fair, also has some injuries right now to some of their better players. Yeah. But, I mean, they did what they needed to do. Hannes Siebert, New Jersey native, some big saves. I mean,
Olivia Smith with some clutch goals.
That's right. She scored the second goal, if I'm not mistaken.
She's been scoring some clutch goals the last few weeks. A couple bangers last week.
Yeah, too, a couple nice week. Goals. Yeah. So we play Benfica 2 more times because we play them in the semis for the Taça de Portugal, which is 2 legs.
Oh, do we? Oh, we do.
So I believe our next game is actually against them again.
First leg. Well, we've got a good record against them this season. So
yeah. Ladies still in position to win 2 trophies, just like the senior men's team as well.
It'd be nice if both of them could do a little double. I don't think
do that, a double.
Yeah. I mean, knocking on wood, but like that'd be the first time that's ever happened, I think, too. So that'd be pretty sweet.
Sporting B is safe. They drew this weekend, but they had a decent. So unlike the previous season, like your points carried over into the next round versus being reset at 0. You know,
it wasn't like everyone's got a clean slate.
Kind of thing. So we carried our lead into like. because we were the first team to miss out on the promotion playoff because we finished.
Yeah, fifth, we were that one team.
So we were in theory in first in the relegation group from the beginning, and then we've just maintained first by winning a couple games and now drawing. And we have like, you know, there's like two or three games left and we have, you know, 9 or 10 point lead. So it's like mathematically possible for us to finish in the bottom two. So safe in League of Three, playing League of Three again next season. Hopefully they can get, into get the League of Three at some point. Maybe we can get there, but maybe we're just destined to be like upper mid table in League of Three forever.
Maybe we're just destined to do this dance forever.
Handball won again. Haven't lost. So the league split into like the championship group now.
Yes, I saw.
And
that.
It did reset.
Okay, so they reset their points.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So like we're only gonna be playing good teams now. The top six, right?
We're getting the hard.
We're gonna play all the good teams now. So like they might lose the league game, but if they do, it's not the end of the world. But it would be crazy if they somehow managed to win the whole thing undefeated.
Would that wouldn't be the first time someone's done that in handball.
I don't know if that's ever been done before.
I'd be curious to find someone in the comments. Let us know.
That's crazy. They're 32-33, I think, on the season, all comps. And that's all three crazy. Of those losses are European.
Also, you're getting called out in the comments. Alf Kodansky's saying handball didn't reset. We have half points.
What's half points mean? I could have sworn I saw the table. It was like 1-1-3-3.
Calling your ass out.
I'm tripping then. I thought I got it right. Apparently not.
Become lacking.
Okay. And what other mode of the league?
Futsal played this weekend, correct?
It was just. Is a steamrolling.
Yeah, I know. UEFA Final Four is coming up very soon.
Yep. I'm forgetting roller hockey. Made it to Final Four of the Champions League. Is the Final Four is all four Portuguese teams, which is kind of crazy.
Oh, really?
Olivetes looked like they were gonna lose. And then they came back right at the end.
It's Sporting Olivetense. Who else?
Porto, Benfica.
Oh wow! So it's all the big boys are.
And we're playing Porto.
Ooh. Yeah, I like that. Wow. Okay, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, that's nuts.
So that's the Final Four of roller hockey, and I think that's it.
Wow. Wild. That is our modalidades. That's our modalidades roundup.
I'm sure. Am I wrong again? Is Alpha Kerensky calling me out again?
Alpha Kerensky saying Sporting have 36 points, Porto have 32, Benfica have 30, and ABC have 26.
Okay. So it is four Portuguese teams. I was wrong, but I could have been more wrong. I knew that we were playing Porto, so I got that.
You were half right.
That was not as bad as the other one that I got wrong.
Yeah. So we are in first place in the league, though. 36 points, Porto 32. But
so we kept our points. ABC, that's great.
So it's like a 4-point gap, 4-2-point gap with all those teams.
Yeah,
okay.
And we played ABC. In theory, of the four, you know, that is the weakest. So chance for handball to lose, but I still like our odds, you know.
We still believe in these parts.
Yeah.
Not a newsworthy week for the most part. Only one real transfer
rumor. I'm only rumor had like, well, I mean, it's always been a rumor, but like it had started to pick up again, I think, when we did our last show and we talked about it briefly.
We talked a bit about it because it still seems to be Liverpool. There's been a lot of conflicting reports, mainly from everyone's favorite journalist Pedro Sepulveda on X Twitter, saying it's confirmed he's there, he's going, he signed. To there was never a meeting, no meeting took place. So I'm like, what happened here? No one knows what's going on. I believe approaches have been made. I think that much we can surmise. Whether there's been a meeting or not, we don't actually know now because there's been several conflicting reports.
I don't know if there was a meeting or if there was direct contact or not. Because also, if there was a meeting, they probably wouldn't say that there was a meeting.
Well, because it would, also, it could be considered as tampering, right?
Like, you would think that someone would have had the scoop, though, that if there was a meeting.
Someone by someone, because no one can contain themselves, especially in this day and age. Someone would have put that out in the open by now. Would have confirmed. Yeah. Would have confirmed it, like sun and the moon. Like, yeah, they had this meeting, and we haven't got that now. We've got like a lot of conflicting reports about whether this meeting has happened. I think at the very least, they've made some contact. They made some overtures, but it doesn't seem like it's anything as concrete. I still think he's gone, and I still think it probably is Liverpool. But there's, like we said last week, there's still open coaching jobs. Like, we know the Barcelona job's available. We know that there's probably going to be at least one or two jobs in England available outside of Liverpool. And we know that there may be a job or two opening up in Germany, depending on what goes on with if Xabi Alonso still decides to stay or if he decides to go. So I still think Liverpool, but it's not cut and dry by any means. There's still a lot of...
Bayern's contacted Zidane, I read this week.
Yeah, but I also saw the report today. It looks like it's Nagelsmann's going to be coming back. It looks like they're close with Nagelsmann, which I get because he had success and he was pretty well liked and he's familiar, right? He's a familiar face, so I could see that being that. And then we signed Zidane. Who knows? Can you imagine? The only really rumored transfer for player-wise that we've had is, I'm going to share my screen in a moment. You will see if I can find it. Here we go. It is a gentleman from Anderlecht. What do you think, Chris? We are being linked to this defender from Anderlecht.
There's actually a rumor today that we had an offer, like an actual concrete offer, rejected.
Yeah, that's the thing I have right now. That's what this is. That was the most recent. We had a couple tweets. 15
plus 3 was rejected.
So it looks like it's probably going to have to be 18 flat plus something.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's like in the range of what we've been paying for, like,
the bigger stalwart ticket signings.
Yeah, our big ticket striker, our big ticket midfielder. You know, we've spent 10 and 10 on defenders. So yeah, I mean,
that's about what I'm expecting. I think too, like, they're going to be playing Champions League.
They're going to be losing center backs too, in the coming year.
I expect them to lose at least one key center back in the next year.
I think Kouwats is back next season. I mean, his contract auto renewed, right? And I think he will fulfill it.
I think
we have one more year of Kouwats.
He was happy with it. Yeah. So we have Kouwats for 1 year. It's more the Diomande and Inacio that we're likely going to lose at least one of them. I think they've, especially Nazi's played his value.
That was also a rumor that Amorim was going to take them to Liverpool with him, right?
Yeah, that was another rumor that we saw. So I think I could see at least one of them going for sure. We may keep at least one, I think, but we'll see what happens. They're going to get good money from those guys. They're probably going to be in the Champions League next year. So, I mean, they're going to be getting
I think they'll be in the regardless. Champions League next year.
Yeah. Like, they're going to be getting some good money to splash around, reduce the debt and stuff regardless. So it's not the end of the world by any stretch. I've not had a chance to see him, watch him. I've heard and read a lot of positive things about him. Not had the chance to see him. I know Anderlecht's a good team, but he's a Belgian international. So that puts some stock into it, because Belgium is no pushover when it comes to football.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with him either. But I know for that price, it sounds like he'd be coming here to be like a regular starter.
Yeah, I assume for that price, you're coming in to immediately be put into the starting 11 and start most weeks at the very least.
And he has interest from other big clubs as well.
Yes, there's been a few teams circling around. I think we're just the only one that's been... I think we're just the one that's been in most contact with him.
Regarding
DeBoss. So
I'm sure Amorim probably has something to do with it too. I mean, this past week, Yokura's agent talking about how important Amorim was to signing Victor, you know?
Yeah, that was key in getting him to come over and sign the deal.
I mean, I doubt that he wants to agree to anything. if he's not 100% sure, even, you know, who the manager is going to be next season, right?
Yeah, I get that too, right? You don't want to sit there and be promised one thing and then suddenly the rug's been kind of pulled out from under you. So I'd understand the trepidation on his side. That being said, like, it happens in football. I would hope they're communicating with them to say, hey, like, this, there is a possibility he is not here next year. It's something you've got to live with. If you still want to make the move, great. If you don't, that's on you. Whatever, big deal. So, not much else on that one. It'll be one to keep an eye on. I think this is about the time of year where we're going to start seeing us kind of linked to guys as the season kind of winds down. You're going to start hearing more of these interesting transfer rumors, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else that this is a short one so far. It's just the two of us. It's a two-man power trip. We run through these ones pretty quick. Anything else I'm missing, forgetting, Chris, that we should be
I'm looking back to,
because it was kind of other than the two games, which is great. I mean, I guess we can talk about the remaining games that we have and figure out that. So I'll pull up the schedule in a moment on the old Google machine here. Sport football.
Five games left.
The game in hand is no more. We won our game in hand. Let me share my tab. Right.
Yeah, they really. I'm looking back out.
So we've won against Family Cow. Our remaining games are Vitória de Guimarães this Sunday. We have Porto the following Sunday, away at the Dragão. And then our final three games after that are Portimonense at home, Estoril away, and then Chaves at home. So it's really, if you can get past, I would say, Guimarães and Porto, if you can get out of those relatively unscathed, you're probably home free at that point.
Hopefully, Chaves will probably be playing for permanency in that last game.
It depends, too, on other results.
So will Portimonense. They'll be playing for their lives, too.
Yeah. I expect them to get 4 points out of these first two out of Porto.
If they get 4 points out of Guimarães and Porto, they're champions.
I think it's pretty much completed.
And they basically need to get zero out of them to not be champions. One.
Because my assumption is Benfica. Two? My assumption is Benfica keeps pace.
Yeah.
And they probably win their two games. It would still be a 5-point advantage with
three
games remaining.
If they tie both, Benfica would get 4 points back on them, and they'd still have a 3-point lead.
Yeah, my assumption is they get 4 points out of it. It's probably a 5-point lead with three games remaining. At that point, all you have to do is just not lose. You could tie those games, and you're fine. I expect there is a slim chance. I think they could be champions if they beat Porto and Benfica happen to like lose their next two games. I think that would pretty much do it.
Yeah, it's mathematically possible.
It is mathematically possible. I don't think it's mathematically probable that it's going to happen. Hypothetically probable. I think that the game we will probably see them is either going to be, I think it's going to be the Estoril game is where they clinch. It may be the Portimonense game if things have gone their way. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. And then they, of course, have the Final Tasa on the 26th, day before my 27th birthday. Wouldn't be bad to give me a couple early birthday gifts.
I still remember our last Tasa of the Portugal win.
As do I. That was the same. It was the same week. It was the same time. It was my birthday weekend.
We had absolutely no business winning that game.
No. God, no.
None. We should have lost 4-0. We should have lost 4-0.
No, we should have lost like 5-2. We had like two good chances. I remember Wendell had like two really good chances that went just wide, and that was
what was the final? It was 2-2, right?
It was 2-2. So we were losing 1-0. Bruno gets a deflected goal just before halftime. I'm gonna stop my screen share now because that's pretty much it. It was Bruno gets a deflected goal at halftime. We did have a couple chances. They had a goal disallowed for an offside. We had one other really good chance in the first half. That was really it. Second half, not that we had like one good chance. They had two or three good chances they should have scored on. extra time was kind of nothing until we get kind of a fluke Baz Dost goal, and then they score literally the last kick of the game to send it to penalty kicks, and we win on penalty kicks.
Insane.
But yeah, that was, I remember that week at that one very well, because we did not expect to be anywhere near trophies that year.
It was
like the day or two before my birthday. So I remember like being fired up that they had won the toss. And it was also the day the Raptors clinched going to the NBA finals. So I remember that day very vividly.
That was a good day.
Those two games. That was a very good day for me. I remember that day very vividly. Like the couple tosses I've been able to actually celebrate, I remember very well.
I very vividly remember 2014 as well, the Braga comeback.
See, the one I remember really well, I remember the Braga comeback well, but I also remember not the one in...
I remember where I was, you know, what happened, who I was with, you know.
I remember the back-to-backs in 08, but I remember the one in 07 more because that was like the first time I really sat down and watched, because I was just getting into soccer.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I really got to watch them in the Final de Tasse against Blanench.
Yeah.
It was on my birthday. It was literally the day of my birthday. And my grandfather and uncle were at the game. So I was like trying to look for them at the game. But like they were in a sea of Sporting Geisha. There was no shot I was going to find those two.
Yeah.
Like a sea of 40 in like a crowd of 40,000 people. But yeah, that's the show pretty much. Yeah. That's pretty much it at this point. I have nothing else to add.
Predictions for Game of Ange, right?
I think they win the Game of Ange game. I really do. I don't think it's going to be – I'd be very surprised if it was –
Game of Ange playing midweek, the second leg of their TASA semifinal, right?
Yes, because their TASA got – they have the same problem as us.
Is it tomorrow?
I can check. I'll let you know.
Or is it like Thursday maybe? Like it's got to be in the next 2 days, right?
TASA de Portugal. They play tomorrow at 3:15, so same time as we did today. Because they had
both coming off a midweek game, right? Obviously, if they turn it around, morale is going to be high.
Oh, because then we'll have to also play them in the Final de Tasse. Yeah, they'll be really sky high. So this, and they'll be feeling high because they know they've already nicked points off of us previously this season. So if they do that, they're going to be real fired up. And if we get them after they lose to Porto, we could get them really pissed off. And that's also not necessarily the best. So I expect a very tough game. They're in the hunt for third place. It's a dogfight right now.
They're in the hunt for third. They're in the hunt for a trophy.
They're motivated. They're a tough team.
Yeah.
I'm saying 2-1 we win. I'm going to predict another 2-1. I don't know.
I'm rolling 1-0.
Another 1-0 shithouse.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'm thinking 2-1. I think we let in one stupid goal on a set piece, probably. That's what we usually do. But it's going to be tough. That's going to be a really tough. That's the toughest home game we have left before the toughest overall game, because you know Porto's going to be fighting tooth and nail the day after an election, too. For them, so that could be very interesting, that game especially. They dropped points again this week.
They nabbed a point late against Fidense. They definitely should have won the game based on what I saw. But they're also would have been hard done if they lost.
I'd agree with that sentiment. According to Sergio Conceição, they want everyone's against the north. There's this weird thing with them all of a sudden, where we just don't want any teams from the north to succeed. And I'm thinking,
even though like 2/3 of the Premier League has been northern teams,
it's all northern teams for the last
or like 75%.
Yeah, like I think the most like you have like a couple central teams, and you have like one or two in the south max, and maybe an island team here and there. Depending on the year,
they'll be an island team back next year.
Santa Clara is looking good,
for better or for worse.
Yeah, we'll have a Santa Clara. Santa Clara, I don't mind going to because they don't seem to get the stupid rain like Madeira gets.
They do get the rain sometimes though.
It depends on if we get them early in the season, we're like away. It's fine. That's usually when they put us. They always put at least one or two of their big three home games like early on, it seems. I'd rather them than friggin' like Nacional or Maritimo, just because like It always pours when we go to Nacional.
Or fogs. They just had their big game against Avisad Belay because of fog.
Yeah. Who's in the promo? It's Santa Clara, and then it's Avisad, correct? Is kind of
And then it's Nacional.
And then it is Nacional.
And then there's a slight gap after third.
Okay. So we'll definitely see at least one looks like island team coming up. We might get a second one. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Chris, where can they find everybody? Well, we're going to put them down below in a second. You can follow Chris or on Twitter at TheBigChris69. You can follow Danny Saldana at underscore Danny.
Is that Danny's at? I guess I've never looked at it close enough.
That is Danny's at. And I was wondering why. I guess because probably Danny S was taken.
Yeah.
Sam's got two A's. Sam Fonseca with two A's at the end.
I've noticed that before, though. I've noticed the two A's.
Yeah. Before. Follow me down below as well. Most importantly, follow all things Alvalade at AT Alvalade on Twitter. Follow us on all socials. Check us out on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your fine podcasts if you're on the go. Like and subscribe on the YouTube. We don't really have a subscriber goal, but we like the subscribers. We want the watch time. Wherever you're watching us, we appreciate you joining us. I don't know how many we've got in today viewing. I haven't looked. I don't know if you've looked, but we appreciate you joining us. We will see you hopefully next week after what we hope is another big win.
Hope so.
Nothing much to say except cheers and Viva Sporting.